Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hook on this beat. 10:06 on 105.1 The Fan Sports Saturday. Just got a message from my guy, and he's, you know, I guess kids got basketball, and he's just wrapping up there or trying to wrap up. So get here as soon as he can. I told him, do not hurt yourself trying to get here. I mean, no, it's all good. If you're at he's at basketball, we're not tripping about it. So we'll wait and see if he's able to come in. But if not, man, I got my guy Casey Smith here. Kind of, like I said, pitch hitting for my guy Jordan Schultz.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Sitting in the number one chair because even though I am number one, so you can tell Joe I said that, and I don't care. But, yeah, I'm over here in the big chair. I'll be honest. I don't like sitting here. This is not a comfortable chair.
You feel kind of tucked in the corner?
No, it's like it's hard to adjust and it's hard to, like, put down. I'm already tall, and the last person to sit here is Rob. And so, like, he's already really, like, trying to be really high up. Man, this chair is so much. I think it's because Sook sits there, so it's kind of already broken in, right? And so that's the more comfortable chair. I really don't. I was going to sit over there. I was just going to go ahead and take the seat over there, but I figured in the one I have to kind of sit in the pilot's chair.
Makes it easier for me to switch cams.
Makes it, you know, a little bit easier, you know, so you don't got to worry about that at this point. But want to switch gears a little bit and go to some basketball, man. Are you're a basketball fan?
Little bit here and there.
A little bit.
Who's your players more than teams?
Okay, that's fair. Who's your player?
My favorite player of all time is Carmelo.
Okay.
That's just standalone. I think he's the greatest ISO man to ever walk the game, if not for Joe Johnson.
I mean, yeah, his name is ISO Joe for a reason, but I think Melo still gives Joe buckets. Like, I mean,
yeah, listen, I think so too.
Listen, Carmelo Anthony to me is one of the smoothest, coolest basketball players that's ever existed. Even post basketball, Carmelo Anthony is just the word the kids use now that y'all use now is aura. Like, Melo's got that.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
When he's the only person on live TV when it's time, when he's broadcasting basketball games with buffs on. You know what I mean? Quarter zips a thing now. You know, a lot of kids are out there trying to rock a quarter zip all of a sudden because, you know, Melo doesn't wear a suit. Like, why do I have to wear a suit?
I don't think I've seen Carmelo Anthony, like, off, like, not in basketball uniform without sunglasses on, too.
No, yeah, and you know what? It's perfectly on brand for Carmelo. Like, and that's the thing. How many people can truly, that's not named Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles, could truly just wear glasses everywhere and nobody even second guesses it? His Hall of Fame speech, glasses on. He's on NBA on NBC with shades on. Like, Carmelo Anthony, by far and away, people can hate on him or whatever. I remember the day that they announced that Melo signed to Portland. I was so happy. I was like, wait, who signed here?
First Portland jersey I ever bought.
Carmelo Anthony plays for Portland. Man, get out of here. So that was one of my favorite years ever as far as being a Blazer fan because, bro, Carmelo Anthony plays for the Portland Trailblazers. Like, that is insane. And he could still hoop. Like, he didn't get the minutes he was getting, but I think if we had a coach that was like, right now I think Westbrook is in a situation to where let him cook, man. Let Westbrook go out there and be Westbrook. And what do you know? Like,
if you can go shoot 38, 39% from the three and still go put up, you know, 18 to 30 points a game,
why not? Like, people, the rest of the NBA, the Nuggets and everybody else had us thinking Russell Westbrook was washed, right? They had us thinking, man, this dude's career the Lakers had us thinking Russell Westbrook's career is over. He looks so bad out there. He looks almost like OKC Russ, you know, right now. So it's crazy to see what he's been able to do. But yes, I think Carmelo is, I mean, as far as ISO scores, I mean, KD is, I don't know if there's a better, like, Melo is cool because Melo is smooth, but everything about Kevin Durant is like,
KD is
how do you want it?
KD's 7 foot though. That's
you know what
the,
I mean? Like, and that's the thing.
More impressive for Melo, in my opinion.
You said it's more impressive for Melo?
Yeah, because KD's 6'11". Like, he's got the length to
that's
shoot.
That's not.
People.
But that's. But I'm saying,
but
how
it's,
many?
It's his quickness with his length. That
it's
makes
how
it
many? It's how well that 6'11" guy can shoot. Like, it's it. You're talking about the best shooters in the NBA. Who do you think the best five shooters in the league are?
Steph Curry.
One, of course.
Jeez, I don't really know. Five guys right now?
I mean, maybe not right now, but just in general, right now. I mean, I know Dame is hurt, but for me, it's Steph, Dame. I mean, if he's on one, you know, potentially Clay, but maybe not, you know, right now. James Harden, as far as, like, being able to just shoot the basketball and everything, and then Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant's before James Harden. So it's probably Steph, Dame, KD. And people could even say Steph, KD, Dame. Like, you can really do that however you kind of wanted to. So, yeah, a guy that's 7 foot, can dribble, has dribble moves on top of that, can shake and bake from the top of the key or whatever, can get a shot over you because, again, like you mentioned, he's 7 feet tall. Like, and then can take it to the rack and dunk over you because, again, I'm 7 feet tall. Like, Kevin Durant is a different beast. And, like, you don't have to be this big buffed up guy and everything. Like, you can just be a ball player and everything. And that's kind of what KD is. The reason I love KD, hey man, all I care about is hoop. I don't care about lotion or barbers or, you know, anything else. I want to smoke weed. I want to play basketball. And if you can't talk to me about either one of those things or play video games, when I'm playing video games, I'm typically playing basketball. So if you can't talk to me about any one of those things, then what are we talking about?
I think his financial portfolio might be one of the most impressive in all of the NBA. I think he has three businesses that he's invested in that are over $1 billion right now.
Yeah, these dudes are incredibly wise as far as what to do with the money. I think they saw enough people before them get the check and then blow it all the way and then be left with nothing after you played 15 years in the NBA or you played 9 seasons in the NFL and then within 5 years, you're completely broke. It's a story as old as time. Remember, there was a 30 for 30 once called Broke, and it just talked about how everybody goes broke after they stop playing. So I think these guys are a much more savvy about how to invest their money, where to invest their money, and stuff like that. So, yeah, shout out to KD. Shout out to Bron. All these guys are making billions of dollars, you know, out there, you know, in the world. So it's definitely not the same NBA. But what do you say we talk a little bit of Trailblazers, man? How's that feel?
Let's do that.
Let's talk some Trailblazers. Where do we go from here? I'd love to know right now. I'd love to hear what everybody thinks. So we'll talk some Portland Trailblazers right here, Sports Saturday on The Fan.
I'm Sarah Turney.
And I'm Courtney Nicole.
We're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, The Final Hours.
Crime has impacted both of our families, teaching us how the last conversations, the missed red flags, can change everything.
On The Final Hours, we examine the moments before a disappearance and the questions that never got answered. A podcast that puts the moments before a disappearance under a microscope.
Listen to and follow The Final Hours, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So I had to Google and just try to find out some AI answers. How many current NFL players have grandkids? Surprisingly, they didn't know. But they said there's no exact official count. The number of current NFL players with grandkids is very low. With Philip Rivers returning, being a notable recent example of joining a rare club of grandfathers who play in the NFL. Most recently, Brett Favre, making them two of the few known active players to hold this distinction. So there you go. If you're a Colts fan, then Philip Rivers, Grandpa Phil, you know, old man Rivers is now your quarterback. So good luck for the rest of the next three games. You know, his the main goal is to not, you know, have like a not die on the field, you know, basically at this point, Phil.
I don't think he's even officially been named the starter yet. That's what worries me.
Or don't
me.
Die at practice, like one of the two. Like, you know, either way, you know, things are this can't end good, you know, if he gets into that game. So hopefully he's just there for like moral support, just like a locker room guy.
The emergency QB.
Yeah, and you know, one thing Philip Rivers can do, he'll give a hell of a halftime speech or post-game speech or pre-game speech. Like, he'll get you. He's the white Jameis Winston. He'll get you jacked.
And he'll be trash-talking all four quarters.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless if exactly. his helmet's on or not.
And he's not cursing when he's doing it. That's the weird part about it. Like,
a lot of shoots and shucks.
Yeah, if you're going to trash-talk me, you got to cuss at me, man. Like, don't tell me, gee golly gosh, get it, man. What? Bro, what are you talking about? So, but that's Phillip Rivers. And so the plan is for them to turn things around and potentially make this playoff push, which is something that the Blazers thought was going to happen after the first few games of the season. They were sitting pretty at one point, and I want to say like maybe the fifth or sixth spot. Then they moved slowly down to seven, and then all the way down to 10. It's like, all right, it's still in the play-in. Now I don't even know what team we're looking at anymore, Casey. And I know you're not like a Blazers fan like that. And I'm not sure. I know you live in Portland and you work in sports radio, so I'm sure you followed a little bit.
I just don't chase the heartbreak. I can't.
That's the life that we live, man. And you hope that things will change because you've seen things change for franchises before, right? Oklahoma City was never supposed to be anything, and then they've had two runs. And this one, it looks like they're going to win 80 games, you know,
this season.
I'm pretty
sure people in the Northwest are still not too happy that Oklahoma City exists as a franchise.
There's a lot of people that feel like that should be Seattle's, you know, championship, and that should be up there. But so things can turn around. We didn't think Milwaukee would win anything, and then the Giannis took his team somewhere. You know, Golden State was one of the worst teams in the league for a lot of years.
Davis years.
Yeah, they were really, really bad. I remember that one year where, and you were, how old are you, Casey?
24.
Oh, geez, yeah. So you weren't born at this point, probably. But there was a year that Golden State went all the way to the playoffs. They took this team. They played against Dallas the first round and beat them when Dallas was the number one seed and Dirk was the MVP. And so beat them, I think maybe one or two seed. And then they beat them in four games or whatever. And then they played against Utah. And there was this great Baron Davis dunk that he had on Andre Kirilenko that was like, yikes. But that was a great time for Golden State. And then it was just nothingness until Stephen Wardell Curry, you know what I'm saying, came up and what do you know? And now there it is. So it can happen. And that's what I think we're hoping for. And for a second this season as a Blazer fan, it looked like that was going to be the case. Like, everything was working. Your first game against Minnesota didn't go great, but you played great and you should have won that game. You beat the Warriors, which was a great game. You get your, you know, you should have won the next game against Clippers. The first few games you play is like, that should have been a win. We lost then. That was close. It was close. And then one day somebody got hurt and it was just, and then another guy got hurt. So first it was Thybul and then it was Blake Wesley. And then Drew Holiday, and then from there, it was like a domino effect of bad things happening. And so that's where we are. Currently, the Blazers have lost to two of the worst teams in the league in their last two losses. And not just losses, blowout losses. You lost to the Grizzlies. You lost to the Grizzlies 119-96. You lose to the worst team in the league, which is the New Orleans Pelicans, 143-120. How many wins do the Pelicans have?
Four.
Four
they
wins.
They're 4-22.
They were 3-22 coming into that game. And you lost to that team, which is crazy. I feel so terrible for Denny Avia because quietly he looks like he's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, he's a very quiet. It kind of feels like how the Bradley Beal, John Wall era in Washington felt. That's kind of how this roster feels right now. Got a really group that we're proud of, that we really like, but we don't know if they have it yet.
No, yeah, we definitely don't know what they have. We don't know who they are. And I think we had a glimpse of who they could be at the beginning of the season with the press and with all these things. And now those things have gone away because the other players aren't there. So now it's just hard basketball to watch. Like, I don't make it through many of these games anymore.
They beat the Thunder at the start of the year.
That was the big game. And that was the FU game for the Thunder. So now they're middle fingers up to the rest of the league.
Yeah.
Nobody gets a win on us anymore. Like they're
24-1 and they might stay with one loss
for a long time. They're and then they're just gonna get better because they got more coming in next year. And then they'll have more the year after that. So like this is a team we're gonna have to get used to sustained excellence from OKC, and this is why things need to change for the Blazers really fast, because I thought this could be a year where the Blazers could be one of those teams to compete, because all you need to do is be able to play defense. They show they can do that. And then on top of playing great defense, you've got a guy who is having an all-time season for the Trailblazers right now. He's averaging 25 points, which used to be a lot. Now it's crap because the first top 10 players in the league all averaged 30.
And the number one player in the league averages 32 and doesn't play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and so it's what can you do? You know, but Denny Avia is having a great season at 25 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, and 6 assists. He's doing everything, 47% from the field. Like, Denny is doing everything. He stepped his ability to shoot the three up a whole lot this season. He's currently shooting 37% from three. Like, Denny is become the star of this Trailblazers team. I think we thought it was going to be Shaden, right? And there are glimpses of Shaden being the guy. Like, we can see it sometimes, like, okay, he's really good.
I think we Portland Trailblazer fans definitely wanted that 1-2 punch, that Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum feel with Scoot and Shaden.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably not going to happen the way that we want it to at this point, because Denny Avia looks like he's your primary ball handler, especially now with Drew Holiday out. So he's your primary ball handler, and there's no stopping him once he gets to the rim. There was a streak of like 3 or 4 games. It was triple doubles, like, you know, no problem. So we know that he can do everything on the floor. It almost reminds me a little bit of Luka, of how he plays. Like, he that really low dribble to the ground.
Like a lengthier Luka.
And just maybe a little quicker than him. Now, I think Luka is craftier than him and can do obviously a better shooter than he is. But his ability to get to the rim, and once he's at the rim, how do you want it? Finish this way, up and under this way, crazy hook this way. Like, once he's at the rim, I'm almost for certain Denny's going to score.
If Denny can develop more as a spot-up shooter, I think he'll be the best player in the league.
That's really easy. The only thing missing from him.
But that's the one thing in his bag that he doesn't quite have, is his ability to find a spot and be lights out from that spot.
Yeah, but even still, without being able to do that, he's shooting 47% overall, 37% for three, 80% from the free throw line. Like, you know, he's doing everything that you would want your superstar player to do. And as I look through the NBA, I don't know if there are a lot of guys that are, you know, putting up those huge numbers. Now, you look at the Jokic's, okay, of course, you know, Jokic and Shea and, you know, and some other guys. But for you go all the way down, and Denny is the only one with 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He's killing right now, you know, if you look at what he's doing. So as far as being an all-star this year, I wish the Blazers were better, because this could have been a great opportunity for Denny Avia to showcase how great he is against the rest of the world. But now that it's this Team USA versus the world and everything like that, like, who the hell cares? You know, let's do that. That's one thing we have not talked about, man. We were going to do Who Do You Love, but the truth is, both the guys are gone. I don't even know what the score was from last week, because Joe never leaves the information for me to log in and take it. So we're going to forego Who Do You Love this week. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
Okay, that's what's up, man. So let's have a real conversation. Team USA versus the rest of the world in an all-star game. Who wins that game? We'll talk about that next, right here, Sports Saturday. But first, Casey has sports. This is such a great song, man. See, you're too young to have watched Miami Vice when they played this, you know, on TV as they're rolling down the street and everything like that. Man, a girl that just got beat up. And so they went to go get the guys that did it and everything like that. So they're driving down the street. This is playing, man, classic USA moment, you know, when I used to watch Miami Vice on USA. So that was a great thing. But yes, NBA All-Star Game this year is a little bit different. And where is the All-Star Game at? So this year, the All-Star Game is live from Los Angeles.
Inglewood, California.
Yeah, February 15th, so the day after Valentine's, which is always good. Valentine's on a Saturday this year, so that'll be nice for everybody. It's going to be super expensive. But they are changing the format because the NBA players are babies and they don't want to just play hard for whatever reason. Pause. But so they are going to go out there and they're going to switch things up a little bit. And I think they have potentially ruined the All-Star game for good now, because I don't think this is going to go the way that they want it to go. I think this is going to go south really, really fast for them. So the new format, if you haven't heard, is USA versus the world for All-Star.
If you take a look at the top five NBA scorers right now.
Oh, no. Doncic. So, yeah, we got that. So I broke it up. I was just going through the list, and I'm going through everybody. Like you said, the top four or five NBA scorers?
The top five scorers.
Are from where?
Three of them. I'm sorry. Yeah, three of them are from Europe.
So let's. Or Canada. So I wrote down the guys that more than likely will be the All-Stars. You look at the stats, you look at the standings and everything like that. I do think stats will be a little misleading because I do think there are going to be at least three to four Thunder on the All-Star rosters. So I expect Chet to be there. I expect Jalen Williams to be there and stuff like that. So there are certain people that I even what's my man's name? Not Carson. I forget his name, but there's
Carson Edwards.
Yes, you know, not him, but I think it's him. I can't remember. They have so many guys in this team. They're so damn deep. So, but I do expect some of them. But for right now, I just left them off because I'm going with just the stats, right? What do the stats say? Who do the stats say the All-Stars are?
Carson Wallace.
Wallace. Thank you so much. You know, so, yeah, there's certain guys on that team that I expect to make the game. But let's just take that part out and let's just keep it just based on stats, right? So I looked at the standings right now, and I looked at statistics, and as it stands, Team USA would consist of Tyrese Maxey, great season, Steph Curry, great season, Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, Austin Reeves, Cade Cunningham, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, LeBron. Because he's LeBron, he's going to get voted in. Like, he's LeBron James. LeBron. Oh, I like that. LeBron. I mean, every time LeBron's name is brought up, that's what should be played in the background for the station. Hopefully Dusty hears that and marks that, because that's what we need to do. And rounding out this stuff is Jalen Brunson, Cat, and Jalen Johnson from the Atlanta Hawks. If you haven't watched Jalen Johnson play in the Atlanta Hawks, he's averaging damn near a triple-double. Like, he's averaging 8 assists, you know, right now. So, but yes, and he's averaging 10, almost 11 rebounds and 23 points. So he's somebody you should see. So,
of those people that you named, who's playing the five in the game? Who goes up against
Jokic? I think Cat will be your five. Maybe LeBron will have to play your four. LeBron or KD will play the four. Jalen Johnson, you will have him, so you'll have a long body in between there to do something, but that will be that. Now we move to Team World. And mind you, this is the world. USA versus the world, which seems a little unfair, but whatever. Canada is part of the world team. Let's start there. So you've got Shea, Luka, Jokic, Lauri Markkanen, Deni Avdija, Siakam, Giannis, assuming he's healthy and can play, Wemby, Şengün, and Franz Wagner. I mean, I don't hate the world team. I mean, you've got...
That's a great team.
You've got great ball handling up front with Luka and Shea, and then you can even throw in Deni Avdija in between there. You've got long and kind of lanky bigs and guys like Markkanen that can make things happen. Siakam, you know, that can play the 3-4, you know, if he really needs to. Wembanyama is Victor Wembanyama. And then you pair him with Giannis at the same time, you know, on the same court.
If he's healthy enough to play.
We're hearing it's going to be, like, what, they said four weeks, something like that?
Yeah, but I think he's coming up close on the amount of games that he has to be eligible to play to make All-Star selection.
Oh, okay. So, assuming Giannis gets back in the next couple weeks, you know, he should be able to play in that game. And then you got, like, kind of wild cards like Franz Wagner, who could come in and be a guy that just gives you a quick 20, you know, in the All-Star game because he lit up real quick. And so, I don't know. America has the more exciting teams, or the USA has the more exciting players. Obviously, Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham is probably my favorite, you know, young player in
more
the NBA
stars,
right now.
Less talent, I'd say.
I think
team.
That's the thing, you know, but then you definitely have talent because you have Kevin Durant, you have Steph, you've got guys that can fill it up. You got LeBron, so you've got guys that are going to be able to kind of fill it up. I guess the America's team, I expect to play a lot faster, right? I expect them to get up and down. I expect a lot of lobs and stuff like that. Team World, I expect them to kind of, it's going to be a slow grind. Everybody on their team that plays like that, with exception of Giannis. Giannis is just to the basket, like, get out of my way. You know, I'm kind of a freight train coming through. Everybody else, Luka, slow bop game. Shea is quick, but it's not a super, like, fast game.
He's Lori a Markkanen, create spacing, get to the line type.
Yeah, you know, Denny Avia, you know, likes to, he's quicker. He's probably, of all of those guys, he's the one that's going to get to the basket.
I'd say
the fastest.
Him and Lori Markkanen are the two slashing finishers.
Yeah, yeah. And so Şengün is going to be somebody that's going to clean up a lot of stuff for you. But if you leave him open, he's going to make you pay for it. So I don't know. I think this could go really bad for, and then they're just so big. They're so much bigger than
the
team.
They're much bigger. They're much younger. They're much more in shape.
And didn't even mention Jokic yet. Didn't even mention Jokic, who nobody can guard Jokic. And it's so strange because when you watch Nikola Jokic play, like, he doesn't have moves.
He doesn't do anything special other than his quick passing.
Yeah,
I'd
like
say.
Jokic doesn't have any moves. Like, there's no, he doesn't have a single go-to move. Everything he does looks almost kind of like, I didn't mean to do that, but it happened. Like, cool. With exception of his passing, like you said, which is top tier, everything else is like a dribble kind of layup, and it's kind of went in. It's like, how did you make that?
He's not a dream shake guy.
No.
He's not a, I'm going to make you fall off this spin move. It's a, I'm just a little bit longer and bigger than you, so I'm going to get around you, and this is going to go in.
So, yeah, Jokic is a special player, and there's nobody, especially considering you don't have any bigs. Jalen Johnson is going to get worked out by Jokic. Unfortunately, Kat is going to get worked out by Jokic. And if KD has to guard him down there, he's going to get worked out by him.
Is LeBron going to waste an all-star game trying to guard Jokic for
considering this is LeBron's last all-star game, let's just be honest. Like, he's going to make the all-star team for the simple fact that this is more than likely LeBron's last season. Like, I mean, I'd be surprised to see if he played another one, because Bryce is not going to the NBA. We will not see another Bronny James situation with Bryce.
You don't think Bryce is as good as, if not better than Bronny?
I do think he's better than Bronny. I've always said he was going to be better than Bronny. Little brother always is better than older brother. That's just kind of the way that goes, you know? So, yeah, it's just kind of one of those things. So, I do expect Bryce to be better, but right now he's not getting any playing time at Arizona, which, you know, you can take that however you want to, but either way, not on the floor. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen again this year. So, I don't know. What do you think, man? I don't think this game ends well for Team America.
I think it's a game where you think it's going to be in favor of USA because of the stars, but then you realize that the stars aren't going to play all game. They're in their mid-30s, close to 40 now. We're not going to get the same Team USA.
Yeah, they have to run. You know, if they can run, you know, and kind of get out to a quick start, and I'm talking about the young boys.
Or just let Steph Curry just go and shoot 60-footers all
Yeah,
game.
I mean, you can do that. You got a chance. I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, they're going to get boat raced, but, you know, if you can get out there and run with an Austin Reeves and an Anthony Edwards and Cade Cunningham kind of controlling that offense, and, you know, Jalen Brunson, you know, getting to the rack as often as he can, like, you have a chance. You just have to play fast, because we know typically that's not what everybody from the world team does. So,
yeah.
All right, man, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Casey, what do you say?
Let's do it.
Let's do that. And we'll wrap things up right here on Sports Saturday after this break.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What a good song. I like that, man. We can listen to that all day, man. What do you got planned today, man? This is a beautiful little Saturday, which is really weird. Again, I hate to always talk about the weather, but, you know, it's supposed to be like 54 degrees, kind of sunny, you know, for the most part up until about 3 o'clock. So that's a very weird, weird December weather for us.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching this Army-Navy game.
Yeah.
Got nothing else to do today. My girl's prepping to go on a nice trip with all of her friends. She leaves tomorrow. I ain't got to worry. That's I got the up. House to myself.
Where's she headed?
She headed to Mexico.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Yeah. You know what that means. Can't drink the water there.
Can't drink the water.
Yeah. And have you been to Mexico? Which part?
Cabo.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's just the space to go. Like, when you, a man, got to get to Mexico. And honestly, when you're young, I don't think really knew about a lot of other spaces to go. It was like, oh, where are you going? Cabo. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome, man. Especially get away for a few days and just kind of get a nice little tan. I mean, I have a year-round tan. You probably don't want one of these, man, pulled over a lot.
I do.
And stuff.
I want a year-round tan.
Yeah, I don't know.
You, I wish I had a little bit more melanin.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good. You know, everybody want to have melanin. No, you don't, bro. Yeah, it's all good. Just stay how you are. Things are safe over there, man. But, yeah, man, no, like I said, I got to go and honor a dear friend. Dear, and he's still alive. It should be noted that the person I'm going to, you know, pay some respect to.
I was
to
a
still,
little confused.
Yeah. You know, it's about giving, you know, the term giving someone their flowers while they're still able to smell them, right? And so it sucks about, like, funerals. People come and say all this nice stuff about you, and it's like, it's not like you never told me that. You never told me that I was this cool. And we had, I remember this funny story we had when we did this, and then they get to these memorials or these anything like that, and it's like, man, like, I wish I'd have got this love when I was alive.
I wish you would have told that story and I could have laughed at it.
Yeah, right. And so this is a great opportunity to be able to tell somebody, hey man, thank you, appreciate what you did and how you did it, and you know, the fact that you did it for us, all those things are important, man. So I'm doing that today, but after that, man, I'm looking forward to just kind of chilling, trying to finish up my Christmas shopping. Are you all wrapped up with your shopping?
Almost. I got a few more gifts left. I got to get my parents gifts. That's about it.
That's the hard one. Like, what do you get?
What do I get the people that brought me into the world?
Yeah, like, it can't be, like, some BS, too. You've got to, I'm not going to say you got to break the bank, but it's got to be, now that you're older, when you're young, you know, they got enough macaroni necklaces from us, and they got enough, you know, clay ashtrays and all that stuff. Like, it's time to really open up your checkbook, if assuming you have a checkbook.
I don't know how to write a check, though. That is
something. They don't teach y'all nothing in school, man.
Yeah, they didn't really teach me that.
Honestly, we didn't learn how to write checks in school either, to be honest. Like, I had to take a special class. The gentleman I'm going to honor today was the first person to put me in front of people and told me what APR means and what all these things are. And this is how you write a check, and that's how you manage an account and all those things. So it is important to be able to do that. And that's something I'm trying to hammer in my own right now. But I mean, I hope teenagers, if you're listening right now, don't take offense to this, but I mean, these guys are idiots, man. Like, they don't know anything about anything.
That's the one thing I realized when I got to college, that I was like, there's a lot of, like, autonomy and a lot of things that I just don't do that I have to do myself.
Yeah. So how old were you when you truly started, like, doing your own laundry and making your own meals? And not like food, like, oh, I can make some eggs and some bacon, like making, like, your own stuff, being kind of self-sufficient. How old were you when you start kind of getting that part out?
I want to say I was 20. I was,
really?
Yeah, it was my sophomore year in college, because I was living with my brother and he was kind of lazy and I am too. So we would go back and forth at, you know, who does this task. Ultimately, I would just cave and go, all right, I'll cook, do this, that, and the other, compromise.
Yeah, I hear you. For me, it's much sooner, you know. So I grew up in a house of women, really. So mom, grandparents, or grandmother, my grandfather was there as well, but my older cousin lived there as well. So I had to learn how to do stuff real fast, because people would be gone a lot of the time and stuff. And so, hey, I need you to put this roast in the oven, and like little instructions written down, like do this, preheat the oven at this time to this heat and everything, and cover it with this. Okay, cool. And so after a little while, you kind of learn how to do stuff. It's kind of cool when you're like 20, 21, and you kind of invite a girl over and was like, oh yeah, you want to come over and have dinner, I'll cook. Like, you can cook.
And you show off your little bits of independence.
And then, seriously, you do all the little things. It's like, man, please. That's rap city right there, man. But no, it's, you'd be surprised. I work in education right now, and I love my students, but you'd be surprised how much that they don't know just about anything. And, you know, so we haven't done a good job teaching them. So, dads, if you're listening right now, man, teach your kids all that stuff. Teach them how to change a tire. Teach them. I run into young boys all the time that don't know how to tie a tie. You know, if you play basketball, and a lot of times they make you like wear a shirt and tie to school before on game days and stuff like that. So I got boys that have never tied a tie before and stuff like that. You know, you've never changed a tire in your entire life. Like, you haven't done like a lot of stuff. You have no idea how to apply cologne, you know, to your body. Do you wear cologne?
Every once in a while.
Really?
Really special occasions. I don't like wasting cologne on just a regular day. I'll use like a deodorant spray on a regular day. But if I'm going out, that's when I'll use
nice cologne. Little cologne. There you go. These other, man, teach your boys something up here. Joe, Jordan, I was like, hey, do you guys like cologne? I was going to get it last Christmas. Like, man, get him something different. We usually get each other like a bottle of whiskey and everything like that. But I was like, let's just do something different, like, you know, for each other. I was going to get him a bottle of cologne. Joe was like, I don't wear cologne. Like, what? Why? Like,
I would love that. If anyone got me cologne as a gift, I would go, thank you. Do you think I smell good?
Is it weird for a guy to get another guy some cologne?
I think probably a little bit.
Is it?
Yeah.
I kind of thought about it after I offered him. I was like, yeah, that might be a little strange. Here, you should smell like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a good idea. But one of them are bros, though. Like,
but it also could be an attack, too.
Could you get you couldn't get your brother some cologne?
I could 100% get my brother some.
That's what these guys are.
Like, I steal
man, these
their
are,
cologne.
Yeah, time. These are my guys. It'd be different if these were like, this was like a Secret Santa gift. And I was like, hey, man, smelled this and thought of you. Like, that's, you know, that's
smelt,
a little.
Smelt this and thought of you.
That's a little weird, right? That's a little weird. Pause, right? So that's a little weird. So other than that, like, yeah, I think I could get my coworker who I'm around. We're all, well, yeah, here you go, man. So you said you don't have any cologne.
The same as a scented candle. I think giving a bottle of cologne, that's like the same as giving a scented candle.
You know what? Shout out to the ladies, man, because they're so, the ability for them to move the way they want to move and never have to think twice about doing certain stuff. Like, there is for every guy out there, you know, there is a small moment we have to think, like, is this appropriate to give to another guy? This is, might be some candles. Smell that smell great and everything like that. I think if
it has to depend on what type of smell it is.
I think for a guy it has to smell, because it can't even smell like a cologne or like something
like that. It can't smell
like a candle. I think it has to smell like bacon or like, you know what I mean? Like steak, you know.
It's got to be like, I have a candle that I got a buddy of mine. It smells like chimichurri. You know, it's kind of a joke candle.
Yeah.
But it smells nice.
I think that, seriously, I think there are certain foods that just, man, I love the smell of like onions and peppers and stuff cooking. Like something about that. If you're out there and you ever just want to fake somebody into thinking that you can cook, start some onions and peppers, put the takeout in the microwave or in the somewhere that it can't be seen. But then you just cook some onions and bell peppers and stuff like that on low heat. Watch that smell permeate, and no matter, it smells like you're making something delicious every single time.
Every time.
Every time. And then you pull out the takeout and plate it on the plate. Really, really nice, man. So, man, thank you so much for coming in today. I know it's short notice, Casey. I appreciate you for pinching in today, man. Man, the fellas will be back next weekend. We're going to get a chance to talk about this huge playoff game between James Madison and the Oregon Ducks. That's happening next week. Sports Saturday will be back. I want to say it's 10 a.m. next week. So we'll get back to you on that. I hope everybody enjoys their day. From my guy, Casey Smith, I'm Rashad Taylor. We'll holler at y'all, man. Peace.
Hey, guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least 4 shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.